Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to all our friends, our members, our visitors, our distant relations. Welcome to all who are here. And before we begin, I would like to direct your attention to our windows on the left, because there is a baby seagull out there. We believe it to be Bob, the seagull that was in the front of our church greeting us all a few weeks ago. Oh, he's right there by Arnie. He comes and goes. Mommy or Papa comes and goes as well. I don't want you to be alarmed if the parent comes and starts tapping on the glass, because that has been going on and on. He is well taken care of, well fed. Yes. And so if you don't hear anything from the sermon, you're looking at Bob out there. That's well, welcome to everyone again who is here. It is good to be together. We will encounter God in His Word and in sacrament in the presence of each other and with the grace and wonder of nature around us. So let us begin this morning with the words printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
I invite all those who can stand to stand down, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. water and the Holy Spirit, God gives you a new birth. And through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God forgives you all your sins. The God of mercy and might strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
You may be seated. Benevolent God, you are the source, the guide, and the goal of our lives. Teach us to love what is worth loving,
to reject what is offensive to you, and to treasure what is precious in your sight, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Now we invite all the children to come forward, and since our children are still on summer vacation, welcome, to Children's Hour. Well, I was going to play a little game with our children, so I'll just sort of describe it to you. And we all know what these things are, right? What is it?
Sand.
Yeah, sand. We're going to make a sand castle. But what's better than a sand castle?
Ice cream.
Chocolate.
Oh, ice cream is definitely No, but specifically, instead of making a sand castle, we're going to make a water castle. And so I was going to task our children with going into the sink, coming back, and we were going to fill our sand castle with water, and we're going to make, it'll take like 3 or 4 or 5 different trips, depending on how many children we have here, back and forth, fill it up with water. And then, so we're going to make a water castle. And then I got my bucket to keep from spilling so no one gets an unintentional baptism. And then we're going to flip it over and pull it out, and then we'd have a water castle.
Yeah.
Any problems with this plan?
Water.
Well, hopefully I got it contained. But
it's not going to look like a castle.
Not going to really look like a castle, right? It's too fleeting, right? There's a lot of work and a lot of effort for something that's going to exist for like a millisecond. And then I was going to ask them, like, do you want to do it again? And I'm hoping they would say, like, no. But see, our texts today have to deal with, like, how much effort we spend in life on things that don't last. And we really do that a lot. We spend most of our effort things that are really fleeting, like a water castle. And our invitation from our text is to find those things in life that are eternal, like your own soul, like the love of God, the grace, forgiveness of God. And spend our time on those things so that hopefully when you lift the cup off, it doesn't just evaporate. So let us pray. Count three, bring your hands together. 1, 2, 3. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for saving us.
Thank you for saving us.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
On the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, a reading from the book of Ecclesiastes. Hear now the word. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to humans to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to my successor. And who knows whether he will be wise or foolish? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night their minds do not rest. This is also vanity. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Our Psalms is 49, verses 1 through 12. It may be found on page 5 of your bulletin. I will read the light print. Please respond with the bold print. Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all who you dwell in the world.
You apply degree and low, rich and poor together.
My mind shall speak of wisdom, and my heart shall meditate on understanding.
I will incline my ear to a proverb and set forth my riddle upon the harp.
Why should I be afraid in evil days when the wickedness of those at my heels surrounds me?
The wickedness of those who put their trust in their own prowess and boast of their great riches.
No one can never redeem another or give to God the ransom for another's life.
For the ransom of a life is so great that there would never be enough to pay it.
In order to live forever and ever and never see the grave.
For we see that the wise die also, like the dull and stupid, they perish and leave their wealth to those who come after them.
Our second reading from Colossians 3. Hear now the word. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, enslaved and free, but Christ is all and in all. Holy Wisdom, Holy Word.
Thanks be to God.
Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all of my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures from themselves, but are not rich towards God." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, friends, I had an ambitious plan for this Sunday, is I wanted to, at the same time, talk about our gospel, because that, of course, is the job of a preacher, to preach the gospel, but also because we are in some texts on stewardship, to also talk about our endowment campaign a little bit, and what the work we're doing, how that affects our community life together. And the more I try to weave this beautifully wonderful sermon together with all these complex thoughts and weave it all together seamlessly into a masterpiece, the worse and worse and worse it got. So I'm just going to give you a two-part thing. Part one, I'm going to say something briefly about the gospel. Part two, talk a little bit about the endowment. And if it's a disconnected mess, well, it is what it is. It is the best version that I could come up with. So first, our gospel. And as we're thinking about this gospel, I am reminded of a story that Father Keith, he's a Catholic spiritualist who did a lot of work around contemplative prayer, tells about this young man he knew. And this young man had, on the surface, everything going for him. But underneath, he had a problem. His pride drove him to endless competition. If you could do it, he could do it better. He was the first on the sports team. He was the first in his class, the first of his friends. But even when he was hanging out with his friends, he had a problem, because he had to be best. So even a casual drink would turn into who could drink the other under the table. And then one day, up from this terrible hangover after another night of proving that he was the best at drinking. And he said, "I want to change." And so he decided to join the monastery. But not just any monastery, the Trappist. They're the most extreme, the hardest. Silence, discipline. He joined the monastery to work on his self. But then Lent came around in that great feast of 40 days. Not feast. What's the opposite of feast?
Fast,
thank you. The great 40-day fast of Lent. And they already don't eat much, so a fast is already on their... This austere community brings certain risks to it. And so the infirmary down the street or in the monastery is always open to you. So when the monks need to, they can go get food in the infirmary. But not this young man, because he was going to be the best monk he could be. And as these 40 days of the fast of Lent occurred, he'd find himself slowly each day in morning prayer with fewer and fewer and fewer monks, because they were all in the infirmary. But he was going to stay strong. Until that day when he realized in morning prayer, he was literally the last monk standing. And he said, "Yes, I've done it. I have fasted all the other monks under the table." And then the heartbreaking realization that he hadn't transformed his life at all. He had merely transferred his brokenness. He was prideful before the monastery. He was prideful in the monastery. He was broken before he entered. He was still broken. He had transferred, not transforms his life. And friends, this is the great danger in religion, is it gives us an opportunity, a structure, for us to take our human brokenness, our sinfulness, everything that was wrong, our tears, and merely transfer it into a choir boy. If you're a greedy person, perhaps the church says, instead of transforming into a gracious person, a generous person, just store up all your treasures in heaven. Be greedy for what you will get when you die, because you've done all these great deeds and your real money is in heaven. If you're a person who has to have the rewards, the acknowledgement, the trappings of religion will say, get the holy acknowledgement. Work really hard to get God to say something nice about you. If you're a fighter, you love to fight. Religion gives you the opportunity not to confront your nature and become a man of peace or a woman of peace, but to launch a holy war, a holy crusade. The danger is always that we transfer our problems instead of facing the transformation that is found in the love of God. And the danger with our text today is perhaps you've heard it preached many, many times ago, that this person's problem was that they weren't storing up the treasures in heaven. But again, that is to say, greed continues to exist. It's just a greed for things yet to come. Christ says that the danger is all kinds of greed. And if this individual's problem was that he was not rich towards God, what should make us rich towards God, on the other hand, is the surpassing knowledge that God is with you, the love of God has embraced you, the life of Christ is in you. You notice how Paul says this. You have been raised with Christ. And notice the text, the tense of that verb. You have been. It is not a future have, will, even though that is also true, but Paul says you have been raised. What is true about you is already true. Your life is hidden in Christ. And then transformation is to realize that your true self, who you are created to be, who you will be in God, is secure. And it will come true when Christ is revealed. And the invitation of that transformation is to spend this life in the journey of knowing who you truly are. Because you are truly loved, you are truly held, and Christ is alive in you. Part one, part two. We're talking about transformation, friends, not transference. So one of the goals this year we had was to transform our endowments, to take a hard look at our endowments, take a hard look on our legacy giving our legacy giving policies, and ask some questions. Do our endowments, do our giving, do they reflect the values we have in Christ? Do they reflect the hopes and the dreams of this congregation? And likewise, are we transparent enough with our endowments to create trust for someone who wanted to give? We have some new policies coming out. We've been working hard on that. A policy on how we're going to handle a gift. Unrestricted gift. That will be coming out, and we are going to spend the next 18 months with the gift that the PUD is giving us for parking. We're going to process that as a unrestricted gift through our gift policy. We're going to have 18 months of demonstrating to you all how we handle the gift. So a lot coming up. Now, during that work also, we spent a lot of time with Lisa Higginbottom of our denominations endowment. And we have two events coming up. I want to invite you all to that. One is a book study that she will lead on the 9th of September. And we have a copy. I have to run and get them after I leave out, and I'll put them on the front. We have a copy for each household. And it's a really small, 3-chapter book, really small. And it'll be our book club for the month of September. So if you want to get credited for a participant in the book club, just read that. But she'll lead that discussion, and then she'll be here on the 28th to lead another discussion about legacy giving. And then she'll be here if anyone has questions. Now, I know saying those two things, backbones get stiff. Like, here comes the ask of money, the high-powered sales pitch, all that stuff that we're all worried about. But let me assure you, that's not the point. I don't really care if we get any legacy gifts for this. I don't care if, like, you read this book and don't donate any money, because that's not the point. The point is, I think, with this text, is the realization that finances are a part of our life. Finances reflect our values. And so it's always good to stop and question, or stop and ask the question of, do my current financial decisions reflect the values I have in Christ? And so I ask all of you to participate in all these things coming up with those questions in mind. Because we're not here to transfer our worldly wealth for an eternal wealth. We're here to ask some questions. Do I live into the life have in Christ with what I have? And legacy giving is another type of question, which is, do the current values that I live, do the things I support now, do I want those to be cared for after I am no longer here? And so those are the invitations. And the final invitation, both part A and part B, is this, my friends, you have risen in Christ. Your life is secure. The only journey we have now is to learn who we truly are. And so we invite you to the front to receive the bread and wine so that you can learn, you can experience. experience, you can encounter that you are the body of Christ. And then we, as always, are sent out into the world to be that body of Christ, to encounter the breadth and depth of the love of God all around us, in us, around us, in the birds of the field, and to know that you are loved, you are held safe, and you will rise.
Solidarity with all creation, we join our voice to the voice of the whole church and pray for the needs of the world. Renew in your church a perspective of life beyond worldly pursuits. Build an enthusiasm to embrace life in Christ, so that Christ, the life of the world, is revealed to everyone. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Revitalize and protect the treasures of wild places. Teach all people to value the earth, winds, waters, trees, and animals, the gifts that make life possible on this planet. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Speak wisdom to any in positions of power, that they cease practices of divisiveness, insult, and oppression. Clothe all people in your image and establish equity and peace. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Reveal your loving presence in the lives of people suffering hunger and need, illness and grief, pain and fear. Especially Mason, Joe, Carol, Missy, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Kareem, Julie, Dan, Paul, Dean, Miko, Elliot, Tricia, Kenneth, Tracy, Ken, Evan. For immigrants and refugees that may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and peace. For victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world. And also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts.
For healing for Betty Wilson.
Give strength to those who care and equip them with compassion as they make your love known. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Store up in this congregation a full measure of gratitude and generosity. Guide the work of treasurers and all who attend to financial matters. Support those who work in our community in its difficult and demanding. Make us mindful of the toll that goes unnoticed. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Receive our thanks for the lives of your saints who now rest from their labors. Give us wisdom through their witness and encourage us in love as we continue our lives in this world. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Trusting in your loving kindness, we place our prayer and hope in you, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share that peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
invite us all to come back together now and please stand for our offering. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we may work for the good of all, through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen. He is your word, sent from heaven to a virgin's womb. He there took on our nature and our lot, and was shown forth as your son, born of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary. He, our Lord Jesus, fulfilled all your will and won for you a holy people. He stretched out his hand in suffering, in order to free from suffering those who trust you. He is the one who handed over to death he freely accepted in order to destroy death, to break the bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, and to show forth the resurrection. Taking bread and giving thanks to you, he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of you." Remembering then his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve you as your priestly people. Send your spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered together by the Spirit, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father
in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Friends, this is the table of God, and the table of God is open to all, and all means all, which means all, which means all, and there's no question about it being all. All are welcome to come to this table. In a moment, the ushers will come, and we ask you to fill in our communion rails to the right, to the left, from the right to the left. And you may receive communion either standing or kneeling, whichever is most comfortable for you. Only after you come with your hand extended to receive the bread in your hand, and then to reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. If you wish to come only for a blessing, you may do so as well. Just come with your arms crossed. There is gluten-free options upon request, and we invite all to know, because this is God's table, and all are welcome.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Mothering God, you gather us to your table and we drink deeply of your grace. Send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves and proclaim your love in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Friends, we just pause a moment from some announcements and a reminder that Sandy Kramer is on a much needed vacation this week, so she will be out of the office. But Pete will be covering for some of that, maybe all of that, and I will be here. And then the following week, Sandy will be back, and I will be gone. So just keep up at that. Our word for the week have all our announcements, and then a special reminder that tonight at 4, we'll have a service for Rudy here for the reception to downstairs. I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but there are the basics. Now let us prepare our hearts for the blessing. May the love of God abound in you. The grace of your Savior, Jesus Christ, fill your hearts. And the love of the Spirit bless you and give you peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
peace.